Welcome to Garbage Day, the audio edition. This is an audio transcript of the April 8th issue, titled, The News is a Meme. Listen to the end for an incredible haul. Until you're the one filming it. Last Friday morning, my apartment in Brooklyn shook. At first, I thought it was wind, then maybe a truck or a subway passing, until I realized I felt that exact kind of uncanny shaking in 2011 during New York's last earthquake. Though for that one, I was 21 and very hungover, working an abusive job I hated and was sort of having a panic attack at that exact moment because I had just gotten yelled at for sending an email wrong, and so when the building shook, I assumed it was all in my head and I didn't say anything. But after last week's quake, I did something I do less and less these days. I typed earthquake into X. There aren't really reporters on X using it the way they did Twitter anymore, but there were enough New Yorkers still on there posting OMG earthquake to at least confirm that's probably what it was. Eventually, a few accounts started posting some basic information about the seismology of the earthquake, but none of them were real publishers. And in the absence of real information, my feed instead filled up with memes and conspiracy theories. Threads had better info, but it took a few hours to show up. And this experience was true for every social platform I used on Friday, which is by design. Up until basically COVID, the large platforms that govern how information travels online were predominantly meant for something. Some, like Twitter, were for news. Others, like Facebook and Instagram, were for connection, Pinterest, curation, Tumblr, fandom, Reddit, hobbies, LinkedIn, networking, etc. And now, across the board, almost all these sites are for entertainment. This is largely TikTok's fault. Its explosive popularity caused such an existential panic among big tech that now every platform, yes, including Pinterest, has some kind of TikTok-like short-form video feature shoehorned into their feeds. But I suspect platforms also like it because it's easier for the average user to, say, make or share a meme or skit about an earthquake than it is for them to do some citizen journalism. Though back when platforms wanted news, there was plenty of that. As these platforms shifted into TikTok clones, they took the opportunity to ditch some of the pesky responsibilities they had lost interest in dealing with during the 2010s, most notably supporting third-party publishers with websites, most of them news outlets, that were using the aforementioned platforms for traffic. Last month's Kate Middleton hysteria is probably the best encapsulation of what this new information landscape feels like. Yes, it's fun, usually in an icky way, but it's also an inherently conspiratorial process. It's not that news doesn't happen anymore, it's just that the average user now consumes it in fragments. You watch a bunch of TikToks, maybe you make a few of your own, read through some Instagram stories, catch the right screenshot of contextless text on X or Threads. If in the 2010s news was about memes, in the 2020s news is just another kind of meme. The best and most chilling description of what this feels like, particularly for processing the various natural disasters that now punctuate modern life, is a 2022 tweet from user Perthshire Mags, who wrote, "Climate change will manifest as a series of disasters viewed through phones with footage that gets closer and closer to where you live until you're the one filming it." But you can also swap climate change out for anything, really. Bird flu, cicadas, political extremism, AI-powered drone strikes, Stanley Cup riots at Target. Everything that happens beyond our screens now is uploaded and flattened into abstracted entertainment, discourse, an AI-generated summary, a trend for brands to advertise around. Every one of us will eventually upload a fragment to the internet's various feeds, watch it dissolve into the digital static, and wonder why no one noticed. T-Z-T-Z-Kai. And then it's an embed of this clip from a TikTok.
It's so delicious with T-Z-T-Z-Kai.
The full video is linked in the newsletter, and it genuinely does seem like a pretty good recipe. Meta's mysteriously specific glitch. I wrote about this in Friday's weekend issue. Facebook and Threads briefly blocked all links from local Kansas newspaper, The Kansas Reflector, after they published an op-ed about Facebook killing local news. Facebook's poster-in-chief, Andy Stone, said it was a security concern that accidentally blocked the links, and that same security concern also blocked links to other sites that republished the Reflector's piece. Fascinating how that works. Even more fascinating, Threads and Instagram head Adam Asari went over to Blue Sky rather than either of his own sites, and started apologizing there as well, writing, If you held every platform to a standard of zero mistakes, then there would be no platforms, including this one. Meta spokespeople in particular love deploying this kind of messaging when stuff like this happens and they get caught. So I want to sticky this here so I can refer to it next time Meta does something bizarre and retaliatory and then starts crying about needing to learn and grow from their mistakes. No one ever asked Meta to be this big. There simply doesn't need to be one platform so big that it can effectively erase, either on purpose or on accident, an entire newspaper from the web. This is not a burden you have to carry. You can just stop being a monopoly if you can't handle the pressure. Chemical manufacturers are so hot on TikTok right now. I got a tip about this over the weekend from a reader named Robert. I read all your emails if I can't respond to them, by the way. A Chinese glycine manufacturer named Donghu Jinlong has blown up on TikTok over the last few weeks. Louise Matsakis, the reporter behind the excellent You May Also Like newsletter, went deep on this trend. Matsakis called the meme a great microcosm of what's actually happening on TikTok when it comes to content from China, which is to say it's nonsense. One thing I haven't seen mentioned anywhere, though, is that I'm fairly certain fans of the Red Scare podcast and adjacent downtown scene / Dime Square micro celebrities started the meme. A lot of the more popular videos feature the Red Scare hosts and comedians like Nick Mullen, oftentimes edited by an AI to read facts about the factory's glycine. Glycine is an amino acid used in food production, by the way. There's also an account called Cities by Diana, which has posted a bunch of big Donghu Jinlong videos. I've been meaning to write about Cities by Diana, but I have been struggling with how to describe what it's doing. The best way I can explain it is that it's an extremely satirical leftist TikTok channel making cute CapCut edits about how horrible American cities are. You need to watch it to get it, I think.
Tired of being cucked by inferior industrial and food grade glycine suppliers who don't adhere to FCC, E640, USPB, PEP, and JSFA production standards. Fear not, glycine girlies. Edge yourself down to Donghua Jinlong.
New internet manhunt dropped. Over the weekend, a woman from Massachusetts named Ashley McGuire posted on Facebook that she was trying to track down her husband, who she alleges ghosted her and left the state, making it impossible to properly divorce him. McGuire has since deleted the initial post and a follow-up, but she was able to track him down in less than 24 hours, largely thanks to a Are We Dating the Same Guy Facebook group in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. McGuire did an interview with a Massachusetts radio station, Jammin 94.5, where she said she had tried a bunch of other options before throwing the internet at him. Interestingly enough, if the Facebook girlies hadn't found him, the R Kitchen Confidential subreddit would have. They spotted McGuire's husband real fast. It seems like the only thing as active as dating app Facebook groups are restaurant gossip boards. Speaking of Reddit, the ultimate Reddit relationship post. There are a lot of moving parts here, but if you want to read the two Reddit threads in question, there's a link to the original and a link to the update in today's newsletter. Here are the broad strokes. A Redditor and her boyfriend like to do sexy pranks with each other. They also like to use Disney voices with each other in the bedroom. She thought it would be funny to make a life-size puppet version of her boyfriend and surprise him with it during foreplay. He seemed really freaked out by it, so she responded by doing a goofy impression at him. Who you look? You know, one of those. He briefly left her apartment and she thought he was going to break up with her. He then came back a few days later and revealed he wasn't actually upset about the puppet, but had just learned that his mom was cheating on his dad for years and got emotional and had to leave after seeing the puppet. He's apparently cool with the puppet now. The top comment on the initial post, I think, summarizes all of this best, which is, girl, what the fuck is this? Here's a clip of Afrobeat SpongeBob SquarePants. And that's from TikTok user Miss Tatiana Clark. And you can find that on TikTok. There's a link in today's newsletter. And then today's stray links are a article titled Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross Have a Plan to Soundtrack Everything in GQ, The Ballad of Rei Suzuki in The Ringer, and Soros Fund is Building an Audio Empire in Semaphore. And all three of those links can be found at the end of today's issue. And to describe the link in the PS today, it's a post on X that reads, "Incredible haul today. This bumps my John Donne collection up to 74, and it's a photo of someone holding 4 DVDs of the movie Don John. Any typos or audio imperfections in this reading are on purpose, actually.